But we're talking about our series with looking at the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts and lives and guides and leads us as followers of Jesus Christ. But here's the thing. If you're like me, you're probably, bottom line is you're a rule breaker. And so sometimes it's hard when you stand up here and you know that you're just basically a hypocrite. Because I speed when I drive. Let me tell you, I do like to drive the speed limit, and it annoys the people behind me on the freeway. And that's probably some of you, especially when I get into the carpool lane. But you got to understand, for many years, I was driving the church vehicles and all that, and we had a program where our driving record was pulled every once in a while. And so I'm just absolutely paranoid of getting a ticket type of thing. It just, the embarrassment, but even more than that, just that anxiety that you feel. And it's like driving on the LA freeways is hard enough already. And then you see just a black and white coming up, or you see lights kind of in the distance. You're just like, is that for me? And so I've just, you know, I don't need the extra stress. So I just kind of drive the speed limit, except unfortunately when I'm in a hurry, which is the way we all kind of tend to drive, some a little bit more safely than others. But because of that, I admit, I break rules, and you break rules. But here's the thing about rules is that at least we know what the rules are. When we go out, and those of you that are looking to get your driver's license soon, some of the students and all that, you read through the California handbook, and you understand what the rules are, what is expected of you if you're going to get behind the wheel of a vehicle and be given the privilege of actually operating that vehicle on the streets here in California. There are certain rules that we are to abide by, and knowing those rules helps us to be able to literally navigate through this world in a safe and orderly manner. Now, that said, sometimes, again, the rules are broken. But for the most part, the rules remain, at least with driving, they remain consistently the same. A few nuances from year to year. In fact, AAA oftentimes in their December issue will in their magazine that they send out to members, they'll highlight all the new rules the new laws that will take place and effect on January 1st of the next year. And so I try to read through those things. Is there anything that's going to actually affect me in my driving habits, my driving patterns, and so that I need to know what those new changes are? But that's driving. That's easy. The problem is that if you're an NFL fan, a football fan, you've seen over the years that rules have started to be put in place in the course of gameplay to add more protection to the players. If you're familiar with what's been going on in the National Football League over the last few years, there has been a greater emphasis on player safety because of just all the concussions and all the head trauma that they have discovered over the years that a number of players have experienced from just the repeated battering that they received playing day in and day out, week in, week out, year after year in the National Football League. Bottom line, it's a violent sport, and we know that, and there's a good portion of society that just absolutely just loves it. Friday nights, football at the high school level are just, stadiums are packed. In fact, Narbonne High School, just down the street from where we live, they are in the state football championship this year, and they're going to be playing somewhere up in Sacramento at Sac State, I think, against some team in Northern California. But football is big, and Saturday, they just finished the college football season. Army-Navy game was yesterday. Army beat Navy, if that matters to any of you. I don't have a dog in the fight, but they played in the snow in Philadelphia, and it was one of those classic matchups for them. But last week in the National Football League, Rob Gronkowski, if you're familiar with him and the New England Patriots, Rob Gronkowski was going out for a pass. Tom Brady late in the fourth quarter. The Patriots were already leading, and a player from Buffalo, Tre'Davious White, these football players, he intercepted the ball, and then out of frustration, after Tre'Davious White fell out of bounds, Gronkowski goes WWE on him and drops an elbow on the back of his head and neck while he's out of bounds. You can kind of see that there. The next night, Pittsburgh and the Bengals were playing. Huge rivalry over the years between these two teams. In the circle there, Juju Smith-Schuster was blocking for his teammate, catching a pass on Vontaze Burfict there. You have to understand something about Burfict. He has kind of got the reputation of being maybe a dirty player, but one as a linebacker who has leveled receiver after receiver as they come across the middle. Well, Smith-Schuster took the opportunity to do the same thing to him and return the favor. In fact, his teammate in the locker room while they're doing all the interviews was just yelling, "Karma, karma," because Antonio Brown has been leveled by Burfict in the past. But as a result, after that, he just stands over him and taunts him. And I bring these two up because, again, in the interest of player safety, the NFL has decided that they want to really cut back on some of these plays where men are defenseless in the midst of play. Gronkowski, the rules were that he violated the rules on unnecessary roughness, contact with the defenseless player, guys on the ground, out of bounds, plays over, and that was the thing. The play was already over, and he drops an elbow on him. For Smith-Schuster, also contact with the defenseless player, standing over the guy, taunting, was unsportsmanlike conduct, seriously injured his opponent, both of them, but what he did was in the course of the actual play. And what has the NFL fans and a lot of people just kind of up in arms this last week is that both of these guys received the same punishment. Both received a one-game suspension. Both of the players that they hit were ushered into the concussion protocol. Fortunately for White, after the Gronkowski hit, he was cleared a few days ago and he's playing today. But Burfict is not playing today because his injury is what it is, and he's being held out of the game today. Again, in interest of player safety. But here's what people are frustrated with. It's like, what are the rules are constantly changing to protect men, which is fine. We understand that. But they couldn't understand why Gronkowski, after hitting the guy out of bounds after the play was over in a pretty vicious attack, if you see the video, versus Smith-Schuster, who in the course of an actual play of football knocked the guy down on his tail, why they would receive the same punishment. And so that was what everyone's going. It's like, well, we understand the rules, and we know when we cross the line, we break the rules, but they are trying, or at least, you know, we want to think that these guys are trying to play within the boundaries of what the game is. And so, you know, I bring that all to talk about today as we're looking about this idea of empowered obedience and being men and women of God who follow what God has called us to do. And we understand Scripture to have certain rules of lifestyle and living that God has for us, but sometimes it's not always clear cut. And that's what I want us to look at this morning as we look at the story of Joseph and Mary in the Christmas narrative. And see different aspects of God's will, God's rules, God's design for us, God's plan for us, and how we might learn from their experience and learn a little bit more about God and how we as followers of Jesus might live our lives in obedience to Him. So let me open up in prayer and then we'll dig into our text this morning. Again, Father, we do thank You that You are here and Your presence fills this place and that our time through musical worship and song, pray, Father, has prepared our hearts to encounter You and to really hear what Your Spirit is showing us and leading us to understand about You and about Your Word. Father, I just ask that You would continue to be a part of our conversation this morning. Be glorified in all that we do. We again ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Top of your outline, Psalm 143, the psalmist David writes, "Teach me to do Your will, for You are my God. Let Your good Spirit lead me on level ground." It is a prayer that, God, I want to understand Your will. I want to understand what You have for me. Teach me to be able to do that. To do that with obedience. To do that with consistency. And recognizing that it is because of the presence of your Spirit that I'm actually even able to live a life of obedience. See, that's one of the advantages that we have as followers of Jesus Christ, is that when Jesus left, he promised us that he would send the Comforter, he would send the Holy Spirit, who would guide and lead us into all truth, as we look at that in a little bit here. And that because of his presence in our lives, we have the opportunity to be obedient. That's the empowered obedience that we want to look at. And so today, if you've got your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew 1 and Luke 1, looking at those two narratives of Joseph and Mary as they encounter God's will. The first thing is this idea of God's hidden will. And I have hidden in quotes because at some point, God's hidden will eventually becomes revealed to us through time. But one of the terms that we hear as you read and study this, it's this idea that God makes decrees. It's his decretive will, if you think about it. It's this idea that God's will, his sovereign will, his hidden will, that is known only to God until it is played out in through time, and then it is more made obvious to us. But this is that will of God that we just don't understand until it actually comes into play. And we see that more in Mary's situation. It's decreed and it's accomplished by God. Look in Luke chapter 1, verse 30-33, where the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, comes before Mary, says, "Don't be afraid. You found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He'll be great and called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him, Jesus, the throne of his father David. He'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will know no end." See, this is God decreeing, this is going to happen in your life, Mary. It's not like she had a choice. It's not like all of a sudden it's like, "Well, you know, God, I really don't want to bear your son. I don't want to become pregnant. I'm a teenage girl. I am betrothed. I am engaged to be married to this man, Joseph. Now is not the time for this unplanned pregnancy." It's not that she had a choice in what God says, "I am going to do this. You are going to conceive a child." And sometimes when we're confronted and faced with God's decreed will in our lives, sometimes it is an illness. Sometimes it's a bounty. Sometimes it's something that's like right now, what's happening, you know, in Ventura County and north here from here, all these wildfires that are just ravaging our hillsides. Is that God's decreed will? Did anyone have a choice as to whether or not we should be experiencing wildfires right now? I mean, people have lost homes. People have lost, I was reading some horse farm. I think 25 horses had to be killed or were killed as a result of the wildfires. I mean, that's horrible if you're a horse lover, if you're an animal lover of any kind. But this is God's decreed will. God, in his sovereignty, so this is going to happen. It's going to happen this time of year. And no person chose to let this happen. I mean, we have firefighters, brave men and women that are out there battling these fires and trying their best to contain it and to end the loss of life and property. But no one chose that. Yeah, we're going to have a fire this Christmas time. This is a good time. You know, it's getting a little cold here in Southern California. Fire. No one decided that. God allowed for that to happen. Sometimes it's tragic. But the thing that probably we all can understand, to put it maybe into personal perspective, so the psalmist says this in 139, that your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them ever began. Our very lives are God's decreed will. The moment we were born to the moment that we will no longer exist on this earth, then we die. All those days, the psalmist says, is planned already. God has decreed that in January of 1966, I was born. And at some point, if he tarries in his return, I am going to find myself dead. Or you are going to find me dead. Or something. You know, it's going to happen. That is decreed. I didn't choose to be born when I was born. I'm not going to choose to die when I'm going to die. That's God's decreed will. That's hidden. We understand that our lives are going to follow a course. And there's going to be a lot of individual events that are going to occur in the course of that life. But the fact that we have a life is something we can understand. This is God's decreed will. The length of that, who knows? Some are blessed with amazing long life. Some are mourning the loss of a child lost at childbirth or stillborn. You know, we don't know God's hidden will. But he decrees it, and he brings it about, the fulfillment of that. So when we talk about obedience, how do we obey? We obey by trusting God, trusting in his sovereignty. Mary says this, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." God, I don't know what it is you're going to do, but I trust you. I don't know what's happening with the wildfires right now and how much more damage and how much more destruction, how much more loss that people are going to experience, but I trust you. I don't know if this illness that my loved one is going through, you know, we're praying for our brother David Liu right now, who's been battling cancer before in the past and is battling cancer now, and we continue to pray for him. We don't know how much longer that battle is going to be, but God, we just want to trust you. You know, our daughter is graduating next week from college, and that's a joyous time. And she's looking for work, and she's going to, you know, be moving on in life. I don't know what that is. It's a happy thing. But we don't know what's going to unfold. God, we just want to trust you. See, how we obey when we're confronted with the hidden will of God, this decreed will of God, our obedience takes on the form of trust. Trusting in the sovereignty of God. Trusting in the loving nature of God. Trusting in the mercy and graciousness of God. Trusting that God is who he says he is. And will continue to be that way. He'll be consistent throughout our lives. When we're confronted with the decreed, hidden will of God, our obedience looks like trust. Job was one who encountered great loss because Satan had a conversation with God one day and said, you know, Job is only worshiping you, only praising you, only following you because you continue to bless him. So God allowed that a lot of loss would come into Job's life. And at the end of it, Job says this, "I know that you can do all things, that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. I don't understand why I've had to go through this, God, but if it was in your hidden will, if it was in your purpose, it's going to come about. And nothing that I could do is going to stop that. Nothing we could have done would have prevented these fires from raging in Southern California this last week. God's will, his purpose, cannot be thwarted. So again, our obedience is about trust. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says that we are to trust in the Lord with everything we have, with all our heart. And don't lean on our own understanding. Because here's the thing, our understanding, our thinking, our perspective sometimes can be flawed. At the very least, is limited. But we trust in God, in his sovereignty, and in his infinite wisdom. Because in all our ways, if we acknowledge him, he will guide our paths. He will direct our paths. He will send us down a direction of obedience. We just simply have to trust him. And it is difficult when the hidden things of God don't make sense to us. But that's, again, why we have the Holy Spirit within us that enables us to find that place of faith and trust in who God is, reminding us of his faithfulness. This morning earlier, we were talking downstairs, and just think through, what are those moments in your life and in your experience, in your family, where you've seen God's faithfulness up close and personal, and you can recall, yes, I remember when God did this for me. I remember when God showed his grace and his mercy and his faithfulness in this situation. When we are confronted with the decreed hidden will of God, remember those things. Remember those times when God showed up in your life. So we have God's hidden will. We also have God's revealed will. It's commanded, those things that are commanded and made known to us. And this is where we look at the life of Joseph. And when he was given this vision of an angel in a dream, he said, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Joseph in the dream is visited by an angel, and he said, "This is what you need to do. Take Mary as your wife. And the baby that she is carrying when it is born, when he is born, name him Jesus." Very clear instructions. Just do this. Do what I've told you to do, and you'll be walking in obedience. All scripture tells us, Paul writes in 2 Timothy, that all scripture is breathed out by God and it's profitable for us, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God, you know, would be able to walk in obedience to him. This is what God has revealed to us. We have the luxury, this point in history, of having his word before us. God revealed everything that we need to know about him and about life and obedience that we can understand, that we can grasp, that we can actually do here in his word. See, that's what scripture is for us. It enables us to be able to understand God's revealed will. It's not hidden. It's not secretive. It's not something that is only for the lofty or the most spiritual. Because you have to understand, scripture was written in its original language in the common language of the day. I mean, with the Hebrew, that's what they all spoke. But when you got to the Greek, it wasn't the classical Greek that we see in some of the traditional literature. It was what they call Koine Greek. It was the common language Greek. It was so that every person could grab a hold of it and understand. See, God has revealed his will to us first and foremost through scripture. But what we celebrate this time of year, God revealed himself through his son Jesus. God, we sang a song with the lyric about Emmanuel, which is God is with us. God came to earth in the form of a baby and he lived a holy, righteous life and he died on a cross for our salvation. God with us. And he walked in obedience to the Father while he was on earth. God's revealed will is in scripture and it was in the life of Christ. And this is what Micah says. He's told us. He tells us what is expected of us. You want to know the rules of how to live the Christian life? You want to know what's good? This is what it is. Love, do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God. And that is such a broad description of what it means to follow Jesus, what it means to be a follower of God. He's told us. He's made it known to us. These things are not hidden. They're not secretive. And so this will of God is called the preceptive will, preceptive for precepts, rules, commandments, those kind of things. The preceptive will of God, that which has been revealed to us, commanded and made known to man. He's told you, do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God. Look at scripture and understand it is there to teach us, to correct us, to train us. We have God's word available to us. So obedience looks like this. We just simply act. Obedience is about action. So Joseph wakes up from the sleep, from the dream, just as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He takes his wife. And he didn't even know her, sleep with her until Jesus was born. He went the extra mile on that one, which is cool. But he did what the angel told him to do. He had this revealed will of God. Don't be afraid to take Mary's wife. Because as we look in Matthew chapter 1, he said, Mary's kind of pregnant right now, and we're betrothed is not just engaged. We can break off an engagement. Betrothed is all but married. We just haven't had the ceremony yet, but we are married. And that's the state of their relationship at that time when Mary was found pregnant. And Joseph, it says, was an honorable man, and he was just going to quietly just kind of divorce her and let her live out her life in peace and without embarrassment or shame. He was a godly, righteous person. But no, the angel says, no, take her as your wife. Understand what that meant, that level of obedience. Not only was there going to be shame on her, there was going to be shame directed at him. Because either that child was not his child, or that they had engaged sexually prior to the wedding night, which means that they kind of violated protocol and tradition. And there would be shame coming his way as well. But Joseph understood God's revealed will to him. And he obeyed. He took action. He didn't just like, okay, you know what? I get what you're saying, God, and it's all good. But I can't deal with that. Now's not the time for me to take on that extra responsibility. That's not my child. That's not my son. I was righteous and I was pure and I treated her with respect. And she's pregnant. And most men at the time wouldn't have tried to put her away quietly. Most men at the time would have had her killed, had her stoned, because it was a violation of their law. But Joseph understood God's revealed will, and he acted. And he did what God had commanded him to do. Deuteronomy says, you shall therefore love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his rules, his commandments always, his precepts, the perceptive will of God. What God has revealed to us, if we love God, we say we love God, we come to church, we worship him, we sing praises to him. I love you, Lord. Jesus says the same thing in John. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You want to show your love for me? You want to show that we have a relationship? Then do what I've shown you to do. What is not hidden from you. What is revealed to you in my word. Keep it. Act on it. Live it out. James says, don't just be hearers, but doers of the word. Be doers of the word. Do what it says. It's so easy to like, you know, him and ha, like, well, the Bible's kind of silent on this particular issue. Okay, that's fine. We can study it. We can debate certain issues that the Bible is silent on. But where the Bible is crystal clear, what is stopping us from being obedient and acting? There are some things where there's no doubt about what Scripture says. So why do I struggle with following the rules? No, obedience looks like this. We act. We act on what God has revealed to us, and we do it with joy, and we do it because it is an expression of our love for the God that we say we serve and we worship. So, discerning God's will. Here's the problem that we have today. Probably no one in this room has had an angelic vision lately. You know, it's easy when we read in Scripture, it's like, well, Joseph had this vision and the angel came to him. And Mary was visited by an angel. I mean, it was very clear that this was a word from God. And sometimes it's like, well, I'm just waiting for that. You know, if God were to come and speak directly to me, I'd hear the audible voice of God. Of course I'd obey. Of course I'd do that. But that's not the way God works in our lives. The vast majority of the time. He uses different things. He uses his word to reveal himself to us. And so the first thing that we need to understand, just two things I want to really highlight. There's so many more things that we could look at. But bottom line is this. If we want to discern God's will, then we need to know God. We need to know him. Have that relationship with him. If you've yet to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you don't have the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit that empowers you to be obedient, to live a godly life, to live an obedient life. But if you do have the Holy Spirit in you. If you have received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and God has given you the faith, then it is incumbent upon us to deepen that relationship with Him and know Him better. When I first started dating my wife, we were friends, but I didn't really understand her quirks or her joys. I didn't understand her heart. We spent time getting to know one another. It's the courting process. It's the dating process. We do these things to get to know someone to the point where now I think she knows how I think. I know how she thinks. As we have raised our children, we have tried to be on the same page. And we haven't had to say, well, just, you know, we haven't had to do things where I have contradicted her knowingly, intentionally, or you know, in a mean way. Sometimes that happens. But we are able to work in tandem as a team because we've taken the time to know one another, and we are able to be able to live life together in such a way that we were kind of in sync. But that developed over time. Knowing God develops over time. It's a relationship that we say is important. So where are we investing in that? How are we doing that? Take a look here in Luke chapter 1. It says he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one." And she was greatly troubled when the angel appeared to her, and she tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. You have to understand, to have an angelic vision, the scripture has described the physical appearance of angels as something, it's not the cute cherubs that we see in paintings and all that. I mean, some are multiple wings and multiple eyes and just these amazing creatures, you know, of sci-fi and fantasy that, you know, if we see it on the movie screen, we don't think anything of it. But imagine encountering that face-to-face right here, and it's like, oh, what is that? So often they like, fear not. But either it's very good news or it's very bad news if you have that kind of a messenger. And so Mary's trying to figure out, I don't know what this is. And she's trying to discern. And here's the thing. She goes back in her mind what she knows of God as she's been growing up. What does she know of Him? And John tells us that if we have this relationship with God, we are His sheep. And we hear His voice. And He knows us. And we follow Him. It's taking the time to know God, to be able to hear when He's speaking to us through His Word, through the presence of His Spirit within us, discerning, making the effort to discern. And again, the promise that Jesus gave us in John 16, that the Spirit of truth will help us to understand all truth, to understand His Word. Sometimes, like I said, what God wants us to know about Him and how to live His life, a life of obedience, it can be found in Scripture, but sometimes we don't understand Scripture. Well, see, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. He enables us to read through this and like, okay, I get it now. Or if not, then we go to one another, and this is where iron sharpening iron. We go to a fellow brother or sister in Christ, and we study the Word together. Well, this is what the Bible says, and this is what I think it means. What do you think it means? And maybe we don't have a great understanding, so maybe then we go and we talk to God. It's like, Spirit within me, reveal this understanding to me in a way that I can then live in obedience and do what you have shown me that I need to do and how to live my life. Which brings us to the second thing. We want to know God, but we need to ask God. We need to be willing to go in prayer and not just simply lean on our own understanding, but acknowledge Him, pray to Him, and say, God, what's going on? I don't get it. Help me understand. Mary is like, okay, you're going to become pregnant. And she's like, time out. How? I'm a virgin. I'm not even married yet. I've not been with a man yet. How is this going to be? She asked the question. And sometimes in our own pride or stubbornness or laziness, we forget to go to God and just like, God, what's going on? Why is all this happening in my life right now? I don't understand it. And we forget that He is available to us to just pray and to hear our questions. Mary did. we can also. Colossians 1 says, Paul's saying this, we haven't stopped praying for you. And this is a prayer for the Colossians. It's like that they, you would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God. If Paul says, we're praying for you that you would know his will, you'd be able to discern his will, and not only that, that you would be able to walk in obedience to his will. If someone can pray that for someone else, why can't we pray that for ourselves? It's like, God, when you get home, next time you're facing that dilemma, trying to understand what God's going, just pray this. God, fill me with the knowledge of your will, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that I can walk in a manner worthy of you, that it'll be pleasing to you, Lord, that I would bear fruit in every good work and increase in the knowledge of you. God, show yourself to me. Show your will to me. Help me understand. Praying that for ourselves is asking God, yeah, I don't get it. Is this your revealed will? Is there something in Scripture that I need to see? Or is this just simply me needing to trust you because it is that decreed will of yours? James 1 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask. Just ask God. Don't be afraid to ask, because he will give generously to all without reproach, and it will be given. As a follower of Christ, with the Holy Spirit within us, God wants us to know him. God wants us to deepen our relationship with him. He doesn't want to remain hidden to us. Now his ways are his ways, and maybe his thoughts are his thoughts, and they're above ours. And we can't fully always know and understand his will until it is revealed at a later time. But to know him and to understand what is revealed, that is absolutely on the table for us. We just simply have to ask. So here, as we hit reset and we, okay, looking at our lives, how do we live in empowered obedience to God? A couple things. Know that, again, the hidden will of God eventually is revealed. Why these wildfires are happening, who knows? But a few months from now, we're going to hear stories of amazing things that happened. Why did 9/11 happen, all those years ago? I mean, it was a horrible, tragic event in human history, in the history of America. But we've heard story after story. We knew one gal from our church who, because of that situation, it caused her to look to God, and she became a Christian. The hidden things, why God allows some things to happen, eventually is going to be revealed. We just have to know that so that we can trust him in the process. Faithfully walk in obedience to what we already know. What we know from Scripture, what we know from experience, what we know from our time of prayer, as the Holy Spirit has revealed more of God's will to us. Walk in obedience faithfully to what we already know to be true. And lastly, this. Just continue to grow in our understanding of God and his word. God himself is not hidden from us. God's word is not hidden from us. But we need to make the effort to make that more and more part of our life as we grow and mature in our faith and our relationship with him. And when we do these things, we can walk in that empowered obedience, the presence of the Holy Spirit that enables us, whether it is the decreed hidden will of God or whether it is the revealed commanded word of God, will of God, we can just continue to trust him and act in faithfulness, all for his glory. Let's pray, and then we'll have one more song.